The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's hour number three of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Joining us now, ESPN's Ben Baby here to give us more insights on the Cincinnati Bengals. And a good afternoon, Ben. How the heck have you been?
Hey, I'm good. Always good catching up with y'all.
It's great. It's great to hear from you. And obviously, you know, we have a big matchup coming on Monday night. Cowboys fans hoping for a third win in a row. You know, what can you tell us about this Bengals record? We know they've lost some really close games, but should we be looking at this like this is a winnable game for the Cowboys?
Yeah, you know, anytime you got a 4-8 team coming in the building, you got to feel like it's a winnable game. But, you know, I think that, you know, in talking about this game, the last few days, I think that people understand that this is definitely a better team than the record indicates. You know, we heard Jamar Chase speak just a little while ago, and they understand that. And I think that's been the sentiment this entire season, that they feel like the record hasn't been reflective of the quality of the team, but they also know the record is what the record is. And, you know, for the Cowboys to get a win on Monday, they're going to deal with a quarterback playing at an MVP level, a receiver who might be the best in the league this season, and a defense that still has some good pieces that can give them some problems. So, you know, it's going to be a really interesting matchup. I think both teams are in very similar positions, have a lot of similar pieces, a lot of similar questions about them moving forward. So I think we might learn a lot about their futures here on Monday night.
So, Ben, how bad is this Bengals defense? And it seems like if they're not playing against the Chiefs, they're kind of getting shredded by everybody.
Yeah, you know, it's a really banged-up group. You know, Sheldon Rankin's a big free agent defensive tackle. He's currently dealing with a viral illness. Other guys have been playing through injuries like Sam Hubbard, B.J. Hill, Logan Wilson, the starting middle linebacker, on injured reserve today with a knee injury. Got a secondary that just kind of has some issues here and there. And, you know, the big guy that we talk about this year is Cam Taylor-Britt, who had been good early in the year and then just kind of regressed. And, you know, I caught up with him a little bit just a few minutes ago, and it sounds like mentally he's in a good spot. He really just honestly, he's like, I just don't like talking about it because that kind of what messes me up a little bit. And so, you know, that defense, there's going to be a lot of questions about them moving forward, about the defensive coordinator, Lou Anarumo. And so for a Cowboys offense, you know, that is going to have Cooper Rush at quarterback. I still think there are going to be ways for them to be successful and find ways to move the ball.
Local legend Ben Baby with us here on The Fan, covers the Bengals for ESPN. We were just asked the question, who do we fear more in this game to wreck it on the Bengals side of things, Trey Hendrickson on the defensive side or Jamar Chase?
Oh, I'd say I would go Jamar Chase. I mean, right now, he's playing so well. You look at any of the numbers, he's just off the charts in all categories you can think of. He wants to go win the Triple Crown, which hasn't been done since Cooper Kupp did it a few years ago. And I think the unique thing about Jamar is that because of how he's kind of developed as a receiver, he's able to do everything in this offense. Like this year, the Bengals don't have a dedicated slot receiver. That was Tyler Boyd. He's now in Tennessee. And so they've moved Jamar across the formation, trying to get him away from some of those double teams in that cloud, those cloud coverages that they've just want to make sure that anybody but Jamar beats you. And I think that even that, still, the Bengals have found a way to make sure he's potent. And then you got T. Higgins on the other side as well. And, you know, I asked Jamar about that Cowboys secondary, and he knows that they're really solid when you got Jerron Bland, Trayvon Diggs. You know, it's a good group I've known of Donovan Wilson since I covered him at A&M. I know what Dono brings to the table. So I do think that'll be a fun matchup. Trey Hendrickson will be a handful, but Jamar is definitely the one you've got to keep contained.
I do have a follow-up on these Bengals receivers, Ben, but I hope this isn't a ball snacking. 817 says, tell Ben hello. It's Bryce Hamilton. We went to high school together.
Oh, Bryce and I didn't just go to high school together. We went to middle school together. We were in the same percussion group. So
let's go.
I've got a lot of GVAC folks have been hitting me up with me coming back home. That's what makes it so fun for me. It's awesome.
We love you, bro.
As a DFW guy, Ben, are you up on everything with the Cowboys?
I stay abreast of things. I keep tabs, but no, I mean. It's been interesting because, like I said, I think there's a lot of parallels between both of these teams.
Okay, so with the wide receivers, what's up with T. Higgins, the contract situation? I know he's been banged up this year as well. How do you see this stuff getting figured out with T. Higgins and Jamar Chase moving forward?
Yeah, I think that's the big question around this franchise is what exactly they're going to do. Not really with T, but with Jamar. It just seems unlikely that they're going to be able to find a way to pay him what he's going to be worth on the open market. You know, can the Bengals honestly get value for that? Are they willing to trade him, which is something they haven't really done or thought about over the last few years? I think that might be the best option for them just personally because of how much they need to retool this roster. As for Jamar Chase, I think this is going to be a really fascinating situation to play out. It was a bitter negotiation last time around. Week two, the night before the Bengals played Kansas City, our Adam Schefter reported that Chase felt misled throughout the course of the negotiation and talking to people throughout it as well. I think that there was a sense that I never thought they were going to find a way to come together and really find an agreement that worked. And I think that for what Jamar is going to want, it's going to have to take the Bengals deviating from their traditional structure for non-quarterbacks. And I think that's right now the future of, the big question surrounding the future is how much do you value what Jamar brings to the table and how do you build, if you do invest in him, around him and Joe?
It's Ben Baby, ESPN. Do people feel like the Bengals, that maybe this team is going to go back to being a sub-500 franchise and this is the first step to that, or is it much more optimistic with Joe Burrow at the helm?
Yeah, I think it's been interesting because I've been asked this as well going into this game about kind of the vibe around the team and really from the fans. And what I've said is I think there's an expectation that this team should be better than it is. And, I was walking to practice today and some guy was yelling at me saying that he's like, hey, Bengals cameraman, they should be a little bit better. I don't take any snaps, buddy. But he was yelling at players and coaches as they were walking to practice. And so, and honestly, that kind of sums up how fans feel. They feel like this has been an underwhelming team. And I think the biggest thing they're nervous about, you can get a sense of, they don't want Burrow to be squandered. I think people here remember what it was like when Carson Palmer was here. And I think there's been a bit of revisionist history, and a lot of people hated Carson and how he went about things. But I think over time they came to understand that maybe he was more correct and how serious the Bengals were towards winning. And the Bengals have rectified a lot of those problems over time. But I think that's something that you feel from the fan base, that they're nervous, that they're not going to make the most of a guy playing at an MVP level and being one of the best quarterbacks in the league, because right now Joe Burrow is that guy. He's playing, if they had a couple more wins, as Jamar Chase said, we might be talking about him winning the MVP and you're squandering that kind of season.
With Joe Burrow, Zach Taylor's had a ton of success, but is he looked at as being on the hot seat right now?
I think it's still a little early, and I haven't heard anything from inside the building one way or another. I want to make sure that's perfectly clear. And I think that when you look at what Zach's done, struggled early on, but then also the same guy who helped the Bengals get to the Super Bowl, get back to the AFC Championship game. And, Joe has always really liked working with Zach, and Zach has always done a good job of making Burrow feel comfortable in everything from play calls to scheme and all of that. And then talking to players around the league, that is really important. And I think some of the other traits that Zach brings to the table are also things that have been valued, not just by players, but by those inside the building as well. But, Zach said it best, right now he's a 4-8 coach because that's what the record is. And if things unravel towards the end of the season, then maybe we revisit that and maybe the heat gets cranked up. But right now, it might be a little too early to say any of that.
Hey, Ben, has the blind spot for Duke Tobin and his staff been trying to find offensive linemen?
Absolutely. I think that that's, you know, you could really include the trenches in that regard. I think that they, so for whatever reason you look at it, it's something they've really struggled with. In my 6 years here, it's just something they haven't really been able to hit on. I think Amarius Mims, their right tackle out of Georgia, is really good, has earned a ton of praise all year. And you've seen him really start to find his footing. And, you know, I think they did a good job of signing Orlando Brown before he got hurt, was playing like one of the best tackles in the league, which made their record, again, all the more jarring. But, you know, in terms of development, they just haven't been able to hit on guys, really at any round. It's just really going to struggle for them on both sides of the ball. And that's something they're going to really have to look at going into next season, because fans may not realize this here in Cincinnati, but I think this team really could be looking at a lengthy rebuild if they don't, you know, if they don't attack this the right way.
It's Ben Baby with you. I guess, you know, the plan has to start with stopping Micah for them, right? How are they doing against elite pass rushers?
They have actually not been terrible. I think this has been the best. You know, I think everyone's heard about the Bengals offensive line the last few years, how they haven't been able to protect Burrow. I think they've actually done a good job, all things considered, this year. I think one of the things that helps is Burrow has been, I think his pocket presence has been the best it's ever been. His ability to climb the pocket, you know, he's felt more comfortable doing that. You know, his mobility has been, you know, noted going back to training camp, and now he's throwing the ball a lot better than he thought he was early on in the year. And you know, watching him at practice today, I definitely got a sense of that. Saw him even try out a no-look pass. I gave him a hard time for it. But, you know, he did a lot of off-platform work at practice today. And, you know, Cody Ford, if Orlando Brown can't go, and that doesn't seem likely, hasn't practiced this week, hasn't really struggled with a leg issue the last few weeks. I think Cody's done a good job at tackle, which is one of the reasons why they started him at left guard last week. And that configuration of Ford at tackle, Cordell Vosin at left guard, I think that should suffice to slow Micah down if they have a good game plan for it. But, you know, he's one of the best in the league in creating havoc, has been that way the last few years. Him and Trey Hendrickson, both among the league leaders in pass rush win rate. So, you know, Cincinnati's going to have to find a way to make sure that they give Burrow enough time to find those receivers downfield.
Has Burrow done a show and tell yet with the Batmobile?
Yeah, it's funny. I have a hunch that people were not thrilled, because not only did Burrow deny every question about the Batmobile, Jamar didn't, and T. Higgins both, who were in that clip on Hard Knocks, were like, I have no idea what you're talking about. So it has been a mum talking point, I should say, here over the last couple of days.
So what's your opinion on the Skyline Chili?
So the diplomatic answer, I'm amongst Texans, so I feel like I'm in a safe space.
You are, absolutely. Yeah.
The diplomatic answer I give is that, it's true, I will eat it on the hot dogs. I do not want it on the spaghetti. Because the thing is, the chili, it's so watery. It's not thick. Yeah. If you're going to try the true meat sauce, you got to put it on something that can hold it. Or if you're going to put it on on spaghetti, it's just already water on water. That doesn't work. I need something to soak it up. I think we're all thrilled to be eating the press box food at AT&T Stadium. I'm planning on hitting WADA as soon as I get into town.
Let's go.
I know that they're talking about going potentially to Terry Black's, a lot of the other writers, the night before the game.
Okay.
I said, I haven't lived in DFW in 5 years. That's like being out of somewhere for 30 years at this point. So,
are you going to stay in Arlington?
I think they're staying downtown. So if you're going to get out there, I don't know if Pecan Live still brings the heat like it does.
Oh, it's good. It does. Yeah.
No disrespect to Terry.
Yeah, I feel like you can't go wrong. So, the food scene, I am very happy to go back and get a few meals when I get back home.
There's like a new contender for King of the Town, and it's Hurtado in Arlington.
Oh, yeah, Hurtado's goes hard. I mean, I like what they do, like behind. I mean, listen, we can talk about this for hours on it. If we want to do another segment, we can run this back.
Let's do it.
Well, thank you, Ben. Enjoy your time in town. If you need anything, I'm sure you're taken care of, but if there's anything extra, let us know.
Hey, I appreciate y'all having me on. It's always fun.
Going green.
Ben Baby, ESPN. Okay, when we come back, it's time for Woolchuck's Top 10 at 420. I do want to say we have a very respectable bid for our Sandlot Children's Charities booth. The event is Sunday at Globe Life Field on the diamond. You know, we're going to have a table right there on the diamond. Yeah. You and five friends are invited if you have the winning bid. Current high bid, 15 hundo?
Yes.
Okay. Yep. At 877-881-1053 if you want to call Ross in for Lucius today and update your bid, or you can just text in. We can take it like that as well. Woolchuck's top 10 at 420 coming up next.
All right, let's do the top 10 offensive linemen in Cowboys history in honor of Zach Martin, and would you eat this? That's next.
Welcome back, Nation. Here we are now, already halfway point of the show. Hope you're having a fantastic Friday. This segment of The Nation's brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. Franklin Frankel, the go-to attorneys for car and truck wrecks and DFW. If you or a loved one's been in an accident, contact the Frankels and get a free consultation. 214 or 817-333-3333. Go to frankelfirm.com. It's also brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. Here he is, Zach with an H, your Woolly Bully.
All right, who is your favorite and who do you think the best lineman, offensive lineman is in Dallas Cowboys history? 877-
Howard Richards.
881-1053. Did you see from Buster Olney? Shane Bieber is going to be returning to the Guardians on a deal. Rosenhaus Sports has negotiated. I think it's just a one-year deal, though, for the Cy Young winner. So there's another pitcher that is off the market. Maybe we can get some Nathan Eovaldi news coming up very, very soon. We'll actually be talking with one Rangers pitcher coming up on the other side. It's Johnny Gray.
Yeah.
Going to join the show. Excited to talk with John. And 877-881-1053 if you want to bet a bid on our table. Swinging for a cause. Right now we got a $1,500 bid on the line. KNC, though, could use a bid. So if you want a bid for us, you want to top that, maybe you can make us the highest bid show. I think 2,000 is what Sean and RJ are at.
That's right.
We could go $2,001 if you'd like, just so we can have bragging rights, but also I would encourage to bid on the table for KNC. That will include, of course, you get to hang out, you get to get in, you're swinging for a cause at Globe Life Field this Sunday. It's awesome. Benefits a great cause with Sandlot Charity, but also you'll get two Rangers tickets, and you will get to come up in studio and hang out with us for a little while we do the show. So it's awesome. And we'd love to be able to hang out with you on Sunday afternoon.
Right now, Brian Sykes is in the lead, bidding 1,500 for the G-Bag Nation. Who can outbid Brian?
Can you knock him out? I saw this. Would you eat this? And I think I definitely would. Looks pretty delicious to me. This is what they're going to be serving up at the SEC Championship game tomorrow in Atlanta.
Oh, my gosh. I love this, dude. Championship menus. Yeah. They usually crank it. Minimum two notches from whatever it was they were doing in the regular season. I have high hopes for this right now.
Ian, this looks pretty damn delicious.
Maybe this is why they wouldn't let Bevo in the building. He was just going to tear them all up.
Bevo was just going to go ahead and crush it, and he might.
Well, they were worried that they were going to put him on the spit.
Oh, that they'd end up cooking Bevo up?
I'm sure there's an old school way of doing football where you do end up having to sacrifice the other team's mascot at the end of the game.
You know, the beauty of this, too,
Broadus was probably there for it.
Yeah, you probably were. But being at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, the Chick-fil-A is going to be open tomorrow. It's a Saturday.
Oh, it's a Saturday.
So you actually get to take advantage of the Chick-fil-A.
I wonder how much the run-of-the-mill standard Chick-fil-A sandwich costs inside of a stadium.
That's a good question.
Don't we kind of feel like that Atlanta is cool with their prices? Yeah,
Arthur Blank is.
That we're kind of like, we're okay with this. Like, I think Arthur Blank
changes their prices at all.
I wonder if Arthur Blank says, no, we're not going to do this. We're not going to raise the prices. It's kind of a Georgia thing. We've done stories about the Masters golf tournament.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's that Georgia hospitality.
Yeah, they kind of believe that you need to come on in, enjoy the event, have some good food, and don't have to pay a lot. Yeah.
Well, I like the way he runs his stuff.
Yeah, me too. Affordability.
Especially the way he inducts himself into the Ring of Honor.
No doubt. I'm just going to go ahead and slide myself in there while I...
On Sunday Night Football.
Yeah.
Look like I work at the Haunted Mansion, and I'm just going to put myself in. All right, so here...
This is a Vincent Price vibe.
Yeah, big time.
A rack of ribs filled with mac and cheese.
Bevo.
Ritz cracker crumbs.
Filled with mac and cheese? Are they injecting the ribs with mac and cheese?
So it looks like they've got the ribs. The rack is like... formed into a circle.
They're formed in a circle, and then
the mac and cheese is stuffed in the middle.
Oh, okay.
So you do that. You make a circle out of it.
Ritz cracker crumbs, scallions, and then kettle chips for $30. It's in a Mercedes-Benz Stadium bowl. So you're getting the bowl. You've got the chips. Then you've got on top of that is what is the rack of ribs. It's filled with the mac and cheese. Available in a sweet tea barbecue sauce for Georgia or a chipotle barbecue sauce for Texas.
Do you think the bowl shaped like the stadium?
It is.
It is.
It looks just like the stadium.
This is a no-brainer. This is
wait,
like,
but you're going to eat
this
it.
This is
right?
like ice cream helmet.
But you're going to eat the bowl.
You're not going to eat the bowl. The bowl's not edible.
No, you get to take the bowl home.
Okay,
and so, like go have chili oh, it's or like gumbo the, like, afterwards.
The movie theater popcorn bit where yeah. they do a deal with yeah. it, and then you, it's yeah. a souvenir.
Yeah, it looks pretty damn cool. Darren Ravel has gone ahead and tweeted this out. This is by Levi Restaurant.
Okay, I love the background with the fire and the smoke.
That's
it looks cool, right?
Very reasonable, by the way. I think.
Yeah, $30 for that.
$30
for that mac and cheese, like absolutely. Yeah,
and it looks like they stack it because they have the ribs vertical in the circle.
Yeah.
So you got like 5 inches of depth there, and it looks like that is all filled with mac and cheese.
Good amount yeah. of mac
so
and cheese.
So that's a good amount of mac and cheese. Yeah. And then like you said, on the bed of kettle chips, let me ask you, would you rather hear bed of fries or bed of kettle chips? Because I actually like what they did here.
I like what they did here, too, because kettle chips, to me, are my favorite. The crunch factor there.
Exactly. They're going to hold up amidst all that yeah. weight and sauce. The fries yeah. would just sog horrible. Up. They'd get give cold
the,
quick.
Give me the onion yeah. rings.
Onion rings?
Give me the
bed of onion rings.
Okay. The bed of onion rings.
Wow, it's hard
or
to say.
Eric, how about this? How about this? Fill it with the mac and cheese, and you like those crispy onions.
Yeah,
put that
the
on
strings.
Top. Or just chop up some bacon and put it on top of that.
Yeah, I think bacon would be nice.
Bacon.
Yeah.
Bacon's
yeah.
always
go with, the, go with the ribs, the mac and cheese with bacon on top of it. Yeah.
Is the Ritz cracker crumbs just a part of the mac and cheese? Is
dusting,
that what that
I think is? Dusting.
So,
yeah. Yeah. Okay. It looks like that yeah. and the scallions just dusted on top of the mac.
I wonder what a Georgia rib tastes like. You know what I'm saying? If this was at Utah. If this was at Texas's home field,
I wonder if
this would be a different story.
I think I would trust some Georgia barbecue.
Vinegar based sauce,
a Georgia rib. You know what I mean? I have no idea.
That part of the country is known for like Virginia, known for hams, pork, and all that area.
Okay,
yes,
it's their wheelhouse.
They're gonna be.
Let's go.
So I liked it. Also, I did see when it comes to Bill Belichick, the conversations right now with North Carolina. He's had a second meeting, but as I speculated with Bill Belichick in North Carolina, the deal here would be. He has a guaranteed contingency that Stephen Belichick, his son, would be named the school's head coach in waiting if he takes the job.
Mm.
North Carolina is apparently open to the guarantee. Discussions are not a bid to gain leverage for NFL offers, and Bill Belichick is open to the move. So you're not going to get any guarantee from an NFL team that your son's going to be the heir apparent, dude. But maybe at college.
That's getting weird, man.
Maybe at college it is.
He's going. Come on. It's the King James effect.
Yeah,
he's going
let
full
him do
LeBron.
It by his own merit.
But when's the last time coach in waiting has worked where it actually worked out where the dude got the job?
Well, it's definitely not worked for Bill.
Garrett.
He had this with McDaniel for the whole time.
You think Garrett was coaching waiting? You think that was?
Yeah, he was coaching waiting. Yeah.
Well, wasn't he sandbagging it for
But that
Wade?
Was a long time ago, and it didn't really work. He was actually.
I think
it.
Every yeah, time that we've seen, like, remember, like, back in the day, what was our guy, the defensive coordinator? Oh, geez, I can't remember. I think he's now at Georgia, but he was at Texas with Mac Brown.
Oh, Will Muschamp.
Will Muschamp.
Yeah.
And then he ended up going to Florida and stuff like that.
And then, yes. Yeah. Yeah. Then he took the South Carolina gig.
Yeah. Yeah. It never seems to work out for the guy in waiting.
No, but if it's your son's definitely, well, I'd assume, is not going to take another job.
Lombardi thinks this, that the thing with the Carolina, he thinks it's easier to run your program that you have, whatever, you know, you build as your program. It is easier to run in college than it is to run in the NFL.
Okay.
And even with all the NIL and all the transferring and all that.
You mean just from like a buy-in standpoint with players, they're a little bit more impressionable.
Yeah, exactly.
And you only got them for 4 years.
Exactly.
In the NFL, you could have a guy like, dude, I've been listening to you for 7-8 years
exactly.
now.
Exactly. He thinks the reason why Bill's doing this is because that the program that he wants to run, he can absolutely do it in college football.
Mm,
okay.
Like ultimate power.
Well, he saw Saban.
Exactly.
So Saban do the same thing. But, you know, Saban got out because of the NIL stuff.
And Urban Meyer. Yeah, I mean, that'll make some sense. Maybe North Carolina and him is a fit there.
This is seriously, though, the idea came about on draft night when Bronny went to the Lakers. This is when the light bulb went on for Bill. It was like,
yeah, if he can do it.
You know what?
Yeah.
If he can, why can't I?
Maybe. Go ahead and flex that muscle. All right, 877-881-1053. Got some text about Jimbo Fisher replacing Bowden. Like he was a coach in waiting there. Maybe that did work out for Florida State. Who is the best Cowboys lineman of all time, and who's your favorite? We got some love for Rafferty from the 469.
Tom Rafferty, Boston College, number 64.
Rayfield Wright from our guy Pappy, Tim Carthage.
Oh, he was one of the best ones, yeah.
Larry Allen and Nate Newton from the 469.
Love me some Nate Newton.
Chaz Green from the 972.
Chaz Green.
That's a callback.
Give me the 1979 first rounder, number 27 overall, out of Tennessee, Robert Shaw.
You're having to Bob Shaw?
He got banged up.
Bob Shaw had a bad neck. He did not get to play very much. old Bob Shaw.
Oh, Bob.
Oh, no, dude.
Neck problems, yep.
Need that medical scanning at the combine that year.
Yep.
Voice of the Cowboys, Brad Sham says Larry Allen.
Probably right there.
Did get some love for Eric Williams.
Tell you what, Reggie White would vote for him.
Yeah. I mean, what he was able to do against Reggie White, nobody else did.
I told you, many a day.
Unbelievable.
The Reverend did not want to play against that man.
I believe it. Did get some love as well for Joe Looney, just being their favorite.
It's the Joe
Looney. Oh, my gosh.
Show.
Well, he was so great with you guys.
I mean, Joe.
Yeah, like 4 years ago.
Sweet player show. Man.
Great personality. Yeah, awesome dude.
Fun, yeah.
Stand-up
so
guy.
All right, so the Landry hat put out the top 10 best offensive linemen in Cowboys history. We start at number 10.
Number 10.
It is indeed Travis Frederick coming in at 10. First round pick in 2013, we know, only played six seasons.
Boy, we gave him a lot of grief for that pick, didn't we?
But yeah. He dominated in those six seasons, went to four straight Pro Bowls, and was named All-Pro three straight years from 14 to 16. And yeah, I think a lot of the grief was also just the return that they got from moving down 18 spots.
They had a chance to get a second round pick.
They got
took a third.
Yeah. You know, I think that was mainly
it didn't matter with the player they took.
But no, the player they took was awesome.
You know the player they got in the third round that year when they with the pick?
J.J. Wilcox, right?
No, I think it was Terrence Williams.
Was it Williams?
You've not been able to run the ball well or as well as you have since he left.
No,
I mean, absolutely not. He cut the defense in half.
He did. He was fantastic. Number 9 is Flozell Adams. Flozell the Hotel.
West Virginia.
Started,
no, Michigan State.
Michigan State,
Michigan,
yeah.
State.
Are we here for that? Flozell ahead of Frederick? Are we here for that?
I mean, Flozell, you look at longevity. He started all 16 games in 11 of 12 years. Remarkable durability. Helped rank him 15th in team history with 182 games played.
Oh, he was hard to get around.
Compiler.
Yeah.
He rattled off 5 Pro Bowls, and they didn't win a lot during the time that Flozell was there. But yeah, Flozell was one of the mainstays, and usually the rest of the offensive line was not very good.
No.
But
false Flozell, start
flow. That's some of my
you
fault.
Could, every
my
game,
fault
he there, would have yeah. one false start, no doubt.
Consistency.
Number 8 is Ralph Neely.
Ralph Neely.
4-time All-Pro. Made
guard.
2 Pro Bowls. First-team All-Pro 3 straight seasons. All-decade team of the 60s.
Yeah.
But he's not been selected for the Cowboys Ring of Honor or the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Yep.
What
was part
he
of those
do?
Super Bowl
doesn't
teams.
Sell tickets.
This group was they were pretty good before 1989.
Yeah.
Let's not forget that.
7 is Eric Williams. And if it weren't for the 94 car accident that caused him to miss the rest of the season, and he was coming off an All-Pro year.
Yeah, he was good.
Also cut his career short, might have ended up being the best.
He had an ability. His technique was horrible. His desire was really good, and his willingness to do whatever it took to keep that guy off Troy Aikman was some of the best I'd ever seen.
Unreal. I mean, he actually was named NFC Offensive Player of the Year for the first time in Cowboys history. An offensive lineman got that award in 1992.
Yeah.
Wow. Just like for... Wait,
Offensive Player of the Year.
In the entire conference?
By the
NFC?
Cowboys. Yes.
Or like just as the team award? Or
the first offensive lineman in Cowboys history to be named NFC Offensive Player of the Year.
Yeah, I mean, that feels like a league.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That's amazing.
We need to see the highlight tape on that season.
Crazy.
He must have just been
you just watch him versus Reggie White. That's
seriously.
What did it.
Yeah.
Seriously.
We weren't so quarterback fascinated back then or focused back then. You know, we appreciated other positions a lot more.
It's amazing, though.
He could not move very well. He was really stiff in the way he played. But, man, he would not let you get to Aikman. He just wouldn't.
I can't even imagine what an offensive lineman would look like winning that award. Like, today, what would a lineman have to do to be that guy? That just seems insane to me.
It's crazy. John Nealon, number 6.
John Nealon.
Nealon?
Yes, sir.
Was
same
all
thing.
Pros 69, 71, and 72.
He was a guard, yeah.
You're probably looking at like kind of the stuff Quentin Nelson was on early, where he's like picking up dudes and like body slam pancaking them, like multiples every game.
Right.
Your runner has like 2,000 yards, you know, but then your runner's going to get it. So I don't know, man.
Emmett was damn good that year.
He's got to have a couple of cinematic moments like Sunshine from where he's just going down and just lead blocking, and he's just taking out all 11 defenders for like a 90-yard run.
That's what
he
it
couldn't
is.
Run.
And he needs like one of those every game.
He looked like he was hurting as he's running. He looked like he was hurting.
Eric Williams?
Like he was running like his feet hurt.
How high was he drafted?
He was a 5th-round pick. It was amazing. His story is actually amazing.
An amazing player. Yeah. Violent as they come.
Yep.
Top 5, you got Tyron Smith at 5.
Ooh.
Nate Newton at 4.
Wow.
11 seasons from the 80s to the 90s. Didn't make his first Pro Bowl until his sixth season, which was the first of the three Super Bowls for the Cowboys.
He was really good.
Number three is Zach Martin.
Three.
Who we might have seen the last of.
Yeah.
Two is Rayfield Wright.
Yeah.
And number one is Larry Allen.
There's no Tyron Smith.
He was number five.
Oh, gosh.
Four or five.
Tyron was five, yeah.
But he was behind. But who is he behind?
That would be hilarious.
Tyron was behind Nate.
We forgot Tyron.
Yeah. So ahead of Tyron are Nate, Zach Martin, Rayfield Wright. I mean, hard to argue that. Some of the honorable mentions, you did have Andre Girard, Mark Tuane, Herbert Scott.
Mark Tuane was an unbelievable athlete. Now, Eric Williams on one side, not so much. Mark Tuane on the other. Really
big time athlete.
Yeah.
Had the sweet feet.
Yeah. Is Tyler Smith going to get in this conversation?
I'll tell you what, man. Tyler Smith's got a little of a combination of like Larry Allen power. He's got a combination of Eric Williams meanness. And he's a good athlete. So
he's out there.
He's got a shot.
940 is saying Nate over Tyron is blasphemy. That might be one that's debated.
I love Nate, and I think Nate would probably tell you that Tyron Smith was a better player.
I wonder who John Gray's favorite Cowboys O-lineman is of all time.
We'll find out.
I'm going to ask him. I always heard Nate Newton was really good at moving weight, though. You know, he'd really get in there and move it around. Rangers pitcher John Gray joins us next here in the G-Bag Nation. Yes, sir. Welcome back. Rangers pitcher John Gray set to join us here on your home of the Rangers as the toy drive, as you just heard that spot for, is next week. We'll be there, and we're looking forward to it. Here he is, the World Series champion, a legend in his return from injury in the 2023 postseason. He did it. He did the thing. Big number 22 out of Shawnee, Oklahoma, presenter of this year's Rangers toy drive. And John Gray joins us now here on your home of the Rangers. Good afternoon, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you. It's great to hear from you. And I know you and the wife have a passion for giving back, so this just seems like a great fit for you guys. Can you tell us what got you engaged?
Yeah, I mean, it was just a really good fit. Well, I mean, it's actually been around with the Texas Rangers for a while now. I think it's our 14th year now. So, but it's something that kind of fell apart during the COVID years. And we really wanted to spearhead it and kind of bring it back. And because my wife and I both love the holiday seasons, and we love Christmas, and it's such a fun time. And we want to make sure that as many people as possible are participating and enjoying that same joy also. But it's been awesome to be a part of. Mission Arlington's awesome. And it's turned out to be a hit every year. And I think it's getting better each year too. So it's been really a blessing.
I mean, last year was majestic. You know, we had an absolute blast there. So we would encourage all of our Tolos to join us there next week. And if you give a toy, you get a ticket to a 2025 Rangers game. Now, after a couple of seasons here, does this seem like, you know, the kind of place you guys like to put down some permanent roots here for the foreseeable future?
Of course, yes. Like And I feel like every time I think about being with the Rangers, it makes me just feel so happy. Like I feel like it's such a blessing. I feel like I don't deserve it, but I mean, everything they've done with everything we wanted to do off the baseball field, on the field. I mean, they've been behind everything. So I can't say more about this organization.
And then Sunday, we're going to get to see, because you're going to be at Jared Sandler Swinging for a Cause with the Sandlot Charity, right at Globe Life Field.
You bet. Yep.
We can't wait for that. That's going to be awesome.
You a three-point shooter, or what do you got? What do you got cooking, man? Because that three-point shootout is going to get contentious.
You know, I don't know. It depends how confident I feel that day.
Now, they also have a soccer power shot competition. Did you play any footy as a kid?
No, we didn't have much soccer in Oklahoma, but I'd like to try it.
Okay, I remember we got to talk with you last year, big animal family, and then we talked about the story about the squirrels when you went back to Colorado and they still remembered you. Have you made friends with any squirrels here in the DFW, and what did you think about that poor squirrel peanut in New York?
That was a horrible story. I didn't like it. Didn't like it one bit. But less squirrels. We have a variety of animals out here, but less squirrels. I feel like the squirrels in that neighborhood were there, and they've been there just as long as the people. But I miss them. The dogs miss them. They still know Mr. Squirrel when I say Mr. Squirrel. So I think that they definitely miss their friend.
John Gray here with you on the Fan. What can you tell us about your new catcher the team signed? Is it Higashioka? Nailed it.
Yes, Kyle. Got to meet him the other day. Really excited to work with him. It's really cool. Like, we have a lot of the same interests kind of off the field too, so it'll be really fun to get to hang out with him.
All right, John, so how do you see your role going with the team this year? I mean, you've done a variety of things when it comes to, of course, being a starter, and then we saw during the World Series run you went into the bullpen. I mean, I've seen some people throw out, should John Gray just be the Texas Rangers closer? What do you want to do?
I mean, I want to start. I've always wanted to start and be a 200-inning guy. I've always had something happen each season that keeps me from doing that. But I really want to give Texas like a really good really, really good year. I think the one that they deserve from a ball player. And so I'm really pushing towards that 200 inning mark as a starter and making 30 starts and really just being a workhorse.
So with the numbers game kind of being what it is in baseball and the winter meetings, I think a lot of fans are like looking at the internet hoping for a signing, but are you kind of like fingers crossed they don't add a starter, or how do you look at that as an individual player?
I really don't look at it really. I kind of let things kind of fall into place. I have, you know, a lot of trust in our front office and what they do. So I think they'll make the right decisions. And, you know, I think I just take care of what's in front of me. Everything will fall into the right place.
I love that attitude. Now, how important is it, though, Nathan Eovaldi's role with the team, his presence, you know, in the clubhouse and all that?
Yeah, and I think that's something that gets overlooked a little bit, too. I mean, he's such a good ball player and he's such a rock for our team. He was that guy too, like off the field, you know. So it's, yeah, I think we're missing a big teammate with him. I'd love to see him back, but you know how this game goes, and you can't. Yeah, it's tough to give your hopes up, but he was really good for us, and you know, I wish him all the best with whatever's coming next. But we definitely love to have that guy.
What's the last time you saw big Jacob DeGrom over there?
I haven't seen him in a while. He kind of disappears in the offseason like I do. I kind of fade into the mist for the most part, but man, he's a who. I love being around Jacob. I can't wait to see him throwing the ball again, even though it makes me angry seeing him throw.
He is amazing. Now, I guess the good news with getting out of there in October, you got time to enjoy the fall. What have you been doing? Are you a hunter? Are you a wildlife guy? What are you doing out there?
I love being outdoors. I don't really hunt anymore, but something I did when I was younger, but I haven't done it in such a long time. I am into archery just because I like to shoot, so I'll do that. But no big plans, so we'll just take it easy.
It's John Gray here with you on 105.3 The Fan. What would you think of the golden bat rule? Have you heard about this discussion?
Yes.
I heard enough about it.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how dumb do you think it is? Is it a full 10 out of 10 dumb?
I don't want to like step on the optimistic man's shoes, but I don't, at this point, I feel like it's like a backyard game. We're just making rules up as we go, and it just doesn't seem the same to me. I like baseball the way it was.
Hey, John, we were kind of talking about in that rule, though, as a pitcher, if you're standing out there and you have to face the same guy back to back, and it's like one out, they get an out. So now you're facing him with two outs. Would that be somewhat reasonable if you had to go through this?
It'd be really tough. I think it'd be really tough. Yeah. For sure.
I can sense the anger inside.
Yeah, I sound like a really mad Oklahoma
guy.
All
of you are just calling it bad. I've had enough of this.
Stop asking these questions, guys.
Yeah.
For real.
But who would have the edge there, hypothetically? You know, like you just got him out. You got his number that day, right?
You just got him out. He may be discouraged, but he also got to see you.
Okay.
Yeah, we hadn't think of that. Yeah.
If you threw your good stuff early and you throw something that's not as good a second time, it's probably going to get hit.
Okay. Right. So you like the game the way it is. Is there any rule, though, that you've ever thought of? Like, man, I wouldn't mind implementing this if baseball were to ask my opinion.
Yeah, I think a home run derby extra innings would be kind of cool. I don't know, but...
Oh,
I don't know about that. I thought that would be cool at one point, but then I thought about it again. I'm kind of 50-50 with it.
I mean, you already got the runner on second, right? They're tricking it up. They've changed the game already. I would endorse that home run derby idea. I think that'd be a lot of fun for the fans. They stick around, you know, things like that.
Absolutely.
But I hear you. There's a lot to be said for baseball traditionalism, especially because, you know, so many of the fans are traditionalists. Okay, one more time. What can you tell us about the Rangers toy drive and everything the listeners need to know?
So it'll be on December 11th from 4 to 7 p.m. There'll be players there, coaches, alumni, broadcasters, everyone there will be signing autographs. We'll have an autograph session. There'll be Santa Claus. I mean, the whole thing. It looks like completely Christmas up there, so it's really fun. But they'll be accepting toys from now till I think it's between 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. every day from now until December 10th, and then on the 11th we'll have the toy drive. But a $15 value toy, unwrapped, new, will be able to get you a ticket at a select game here for the 2025 season. And come out. It's a lot of fun. There's even ways for, if you don't get to come, there's even a way you can add it to a Amazon wish list and be able to send it that way. So lots of ways to be able to do it. So it'll be hoot. Can't wait.
I love it. Cannot wait. And it's the holiday season. We know you're in a giving spirit. Could you give us your favorite Cowboys offensive lineman of all time?
Oh my gosh.
Could you name a Cowboys offensive lineman?
Does Whitlock count?
Whitten?
I believe so.
You nailed it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Great. You freaking hit it out of the park.
We'll see you Sunday, man.
Okay. You did a great job.
There he goes. John Gray here with you on your home of the Rangers, 105.3 The Fan. He was so amazing in that World Series. The relief appearance where he went five or six innings.
So good.
And I did see, by the way, Ray Davis is planning on bringing a gift as well, but he's banning all luxury items. Okay, so maybe swing by the Dollar Tree or something. I don't know. We got football's finest coming up next, Chief. Where are you going?
Let's see. Nick Saban has a PSA for potential head coaches, and even the nerds were blown away by Man Campbell's cojones last night.